Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, we are getting ready to launch a Patreon on October 1st.
We are. We're so excited.
Listen, we are so excited, but you were a little scared at first.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
listen, that's how this works. That's how this relationship works. Because you say, let's go. And I'm like, I got questions first. But you would jump in. You just jump in.
We
love that about you. But also, we also love people that ask questions and are a little cautious. It's a good balance. It's a good balance.
It's so true. Yeah. But can you just give us a little bit of briefing? Now, most people that have podcasts have Patreon.
Yeah.
But I have talked to people about Patreon. And they've been like, what's that? Tell overview.
Well, you know, we do this podcast for free.
Right.
So it's just something we do. You never have had to pay for anything. You never have to pay for the podcast to come through your Apple podcast or Spotify podcast.
And you still don't.
Yeah, that's how podcasts kind of work. But a Patreon is us giving you more things for like...
Kind of like a subscription.
Yeah. So we're working on different, so you could get bonus episodes, maybe recipes that we'll write out for you, different things like that.
Yeah, they're going to get exclusive access to tickets to live events, which we have one coming.
Right.
So they'll get the email first.
Right.
They'll get access to VIP tickets.
We've even talked about doing like live, truly live virtual events where we might set up a Zoom link and talk to people.
For our Patreon
Hang out
people.
With our Patreon. Because it's like you saying, hey, we support you, we see you, and we're going to like... pay for a little more and support you.
Well,
guys.
And it's voluntary. What I love about Patreon, and I it's kind of like Substack. So you pay like a subscription for people who are giving you something that you're reading, you're listening to, or you're consuming. And it's like you saying, I'm all in this with you all. Right.
Like we're all in this.
Yes. Again. I'm going to benefit. I'm going to get something extra.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pay this little subscription.
Right.
I think we have a $5 tier and a $10 tier or something like that. That.
Yeah.
Something close
to that. We're still working on it because I got questions.
No, listen, it's not we really. I mean, we talk about the ideas, but you are the one you're the one who puts it on
the interwebs.
On the interwebs.
That's right. Hey, well, tell me your good day.
My good day was literally my good weekend.
Yeah.
I went to the bachelorette party.
Oh, right. You're supposed to talk about that today.
Yes.
I forgot.
I went to the bachelorette party. It was a lovely weekend. Most future mother-in-laws and mothers are not included in the bachelorette party. Well, we were.
Well, that's kind.
And it was very kind. We went to Hocking Hills.
Well, here's what we need to know. You kind of left us like a little hanging. You were saying you were going to like do puzzles and stay in the cabin. How'd that turn out for you?
Didn't. I took the puzzle. I had it out. But I literally participated in everything.
So you hiked.
I did. I hiked.
I
canoed. Listen, I'll tell you of the two.
You're like Wilderness Wanda. That's what I texted you. I was like, how's Wilderness Wanda doing out there?
Listen, I loved the canoeing.
Yeah.
I would do that again and again and again.
It's
now,
nice.
I don't want to go down any rapids.
No.
I want no rough waters. And if there's a snake in the water, who cares? I'm in the canoe. They're in the water. I loved the canoeing. It was just, we glided across the water and there were leaves that were just starting to fall. And just
so it was
like,
magical.
It was. It felt very just wonderful. And I was in the canoe with my future daughter-in-law who literally talked to me the whole entire time.
Love it.
And I wouldn't trade that. I'm so glad I went because I would not trade that 2.5 hours of visiting with her and getting to know her better. The hiking I could have did without. Like the hiking, we've talked about it before. You know, I appreciate nature. I love being in the convertible and driving by a beautiful green field, beautiful waving trees. But I don't need to walk in it.
Yeah. You like to look.
I don't need to go in the woods on a path and look around at the woods. I just don't need to do it, Matt. Now.
I support you.
Now, Kat, I know, Kat. I know you might be listening, right?
This Kat, very will second. You text us if she's listening to it? It's like 6:47. She'll be like, stop hating on the hiking. She texts us every Wednesday morning.
I'm not giving up.
Don't give up. Give up the cigarettes because your cough is a little crazy.
I think that Kat, I've got the allergies, the ragweed and goldenrod's just killing me right now. So Kat, I'm not going to give up because I think that Kat would know what hikes I would love and appreciate.
Right.
Like the ones that have spring flowers or fall foliage. Yeah. And you're just on this flat, straight path and you're giggling and drinking your electrolytes and just taking it easy. Like the hike we went on, it was probably 85 steps down and then it went even further down because it was like a cave or cavern or waterfall or something.
Yeah.
And I will canoe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I support that. Mm-hmm.
But that was my good day, is just spending time with her and her friends and getting to know each other more. I just think those times are important as you are just growing as a family.
Totally. My good day actually is time with you. This past weekend, we had friends in town and we had gotten 6 tickets to a movie and they were showing an older movie. And so Mallory got 6 tickets and our friend Disney Danielle and her daughter came in to town. And so the moms took the kids to the movies and I was like, I don't have anything to do.
You texted me. You're like,
I texted you.
Can I stop by? I was like, yes.
We just sat on your porch for probably 4 hours.
It was really
great. Daryl came out and talked to us for a little bit. We laughed. We cried.
Yes.
We talked about life, love, and other mysteries. It was so good. We talked about weddings.
What a
place. Talked about, right?
What a place. What a guy.
That porch. What a place.
What a place.
You know, and this is truly a podcast, not here in the next couple of weeks, but you're in the middle of some big season shifts.
Yeah.
You were in the middle of it. And it's, you know, we're not going to get into it, but
we
you
did
know,
cry a little bit about did. That. We did.
But give, like, you, when your children get married, it is just a really significant moment where your family's just changing and evolving.
There's this transition that happens. And let me just say this to anybody that's going through it right now or has been through it. It is normal to feel all the things.
Right.
Like I could, like I'm getting
emotional. You're crying right now.
I'm getting emotional right now because we are so thrilled with both of the girls that our sons are, they're not girls or women, both of the young women that our sons are marrying. We love them.
Right.
But there is this part of you that is letting go of something.
100%.
And it's just, it really has, it's been so beautiful, but it's also been emotional for me.
Totally.
Like, I am not sad. I wouldn't want it either way. I don't want my sons to move home and move in the basement. I don't want that.
Right.
I want them to start their families and be with someone who just makes their world better and brighter and fuller. But it does feel like a letting go in a different way.
100%.
And I think it's okay to say it. I will never say that I'm grieving the loss of. I'll just say that I'm grieving what was in some way.
Yeah.
I'm not wanting it back. I'm not wanting to try to recapture it. And again, I don't want my sons to move home and live in the basement and play video games till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like I want my boys to be doing what they're doing because they're having this beautiful life.
Right.
But it's okay if you feel some kind of sadness or grief.
Similarly, we have this year, this fall, we had our oldest went into middle school and our youngest started kindergarten. And those are big moments in our season of life where...
And your moms.
Yeah.
You know, your moms has watched our,
both
all
of
your
our
kids.
Moms, yeah, have watched our kids for 12 years, almost 12 years now. And so, you know, I don't, like you said, I don't want my 5-year-old daughter to be 4 forever. You know, we want our kids to grow up and change and evolve, but it's still, there's a sadness to letting it go.
Yes.
But I also think what you and Daryl are doing well is you're opening up your arms to what will be too.
Yes.
And so you can feel both. You can feel both.
Yes.
So Anyway,
it's I think sometimes we feel guilty for feeling some sadness. Like, I shouldn't feel sad. It's okay.
Totally.
It's okay. It's okay to feel sad.
Totally.
You know, it's kind of like it's a little reminiscent of, you remember when your kids you still have kids probably doing this, but when your kids were real little and they were pronouncing things wrong.
Oh my gosh!
And you're like, please don't ever say that right.
Right. You totally. Know,
it's that.
Yeah.
It's this feeling of like. The things are shifting and it's good.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful, but it's also, there's this closing of a chapter.
Totally.
That I was ready for it to close. Right.
Right.
But I'm still a little sad to see it go.
Right. You want to keep talking about this?
Sure.
Okay. I feel like maybe you need to, you know, I think it's so poignant because, you know, when our kids were really little, there was this beautiful show. It was produced by the Mr. Rogers company or whatever, called Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. And it was so precious. And they taught, I remember thinking at the time, what a big word, but a really good concept. They taught the word ambivalent to kids. Oh. That means you can hold two emotions at the same time.
Yeah.
You can hold two things at the same time. And I think sometimes our brains are trained to be bilateral. So to have one or the other. There's two choices and you choose one and it's just that.
I'm either going to be really just so pumped and so happy and so excited about this 1,000% of the time, 24/7, or I'm going to be sad and I'm going to be the mother-in-law. It's like, oh, you're taking my son from me.
That's right.
You know, and I don't want to be all of one or all of the other.
No, and like you said, you don't want your children to stay where you have them in your head.
Matt,
your children, listen, hear me say this.
Okay.
Your children, because of the way that you have raised them, and I would say the way that Mallory and I are raising our kids, this can make me cry. They've exceeded your expectations.
Yes. Yes.
Like, you had a picture of what your kids would be in your mind.
Yeah.
And because you laid the foundation and you set the stage for them to grow and flourish and change and explore and discover and all those great things, your kids have actually exceeded what you had dreamed for them in your mind.
Yep.
Now, would you have said, you have to do this and you have to come to my house on this day and you have to go into this job and you're going to live here? Because there are families that do that. There are families that are like, you're going into the family business. You're going to stay in town.
Yeah.
You're going to come to my house every Sunday for supper. You know, there are families that have this whole framework around what they expect on their kids, and their kids never really outgrow them. And what a beautiful thing to be a parent and watch your kids outgrow the dreams that you have for them.
Yes.
Because the reality is they, first of all, they would resent you if they didn't for holding them back. And second of all, when we give our kids the tools and the experiences and the opportunities to grow and evolve and change and see the world in the way that they want to see the world, often, if not always, they will exceed anything that we've put in our head about them.
Yeah, it's that's so what true. I think. And it's the whole thing of the long game.
That's right.
You just got to think long game. Also, I remember John and Jenny Bunn, John Bunn telling the story, and I think you'll remember it. That they used to always, you know, they raised their children to dream big and think big and you can do anything and all of that. And their daughter was a senior in high school and she wanted to go to Australia participate in
Hillsong
for dance. And John told the story to a group of people when she was getting ready to leave. He said, you know, we've raised our kids to dream big and to go for it, to go for what they love. And when she told us when Naomi told us she wanted to go to Australia, after she told us, I said to Jenny, this could make me emotional too. We have to do all we can to stop her so she doesn't go. And then I realized what I was saying, you know, that we've always told our kids to dream big and to go after what they love. So we have to let her go. And, you know, it's that tension of, oh my goodness, we have to stop her. She can't go all the way to Australia.
Right.
And then being like, wait a minute, we've raised her to dream big enough that she can go to Australia.
Right. That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah,
right?
It is. And, you know, and back to the long game, it is thinking long game. I remember when Teddy wanted to go to Wheaton College, and, you know, it's not an easy college to get into, and it's also expensive. And so he, you know, wanted to get into Wheaton, which is outside of Chicago. Well, you know, we lived in Amish country and it's like, oh my gosh, you want to go to Chicago? And he gets in and he gets some scholarship money and he goes. And I, that first child to leave, listen, I will be there for you and Mallory when it happens with Luca, because that first child to leave, it is like, I can't even describe the feeling. And many of you listening have seen kids off to college this year, but it is like your heart just gets pulled up out of you. And yeah. I would say every time we would leave Teddy the first half dozen times, it felt like it was literally taking my breath away.
Yeah.
Like it would just take my breath away, him leaving, like him getting on the bus to ride back to Chicago. It would just, you know, I would worry and I worry who he's sitting next to. And,
right.
you know, and I would feel like my heart was just aching.
Yeah.
But also I was so happy
because
he was doing so great.
Totally.
So same thing now, just different ages and different season, but it's the same type feeling.
Yeah. I think what the hard thing is that we're in the middle of for us is I think people, we need to do it in little things and in little ways as well. So what I mean by that is, like for us, our sixth grader, as silly as this sounds, he, a couple weeks ago, went with a family to Columbus to like this indoor trampoline park with their son. And as silly as that sounds, we had never let him go that far with a non-family member.
Right.
You know, we never had let him get in the car and drive an hour and 20 minutes away.
There's also wisdom in that.
Oh, true. You know, true. Mean, but it's far, people we know and trust love.
Yeah.
And we never done that before. And, you know, we're like, well, he's in sixth grade. He can stand up for himself. We know he knows right from wrong. And so we're in the season where we're giving him little experiences so that when the big experiences come, he is ready for it.
And you are too.
And we are too. That is so true. And I think that's the hardest part. You know, my mom and actually Mallory's mom tell very similar stories where Mallory and I are both firstborns. And we're both, I think it's fair to say, we're the bigger personalities in our families of the kids. So I have a sister, she has a brother, and I'm probably the bigger,
well, you're just
gregarious
more,
personality. Yes. And she is compared to her brother too. And both of our moms have said, like, when we went to college, it was like, it was just so different. It changes the whole family dynamic.
Right.
And I think that's really hard. But I also think, to your point, you don't want your kids not having experiences or not growing or just staying stifled where they are.
And also, what a gift to miss someone.
Oh.
Like, what a wonderful thing to say about someone instead of like, oh, thank God they have moved out.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful gift to say, I miss hearing them come down the steps. Like, not long ago, Luca came in the house and you knew it was Luca. You know, those are, sometimes I get a wave of this, like, I just miss those house sounds.
Yeah.
You know, I miss them walking in the door.
When the door slams and you're like, oh, he's home.
Yeah. I will say, though, that we are stewards as you get older as parents. Wow, I'm really crying. Sorry.
That's okay.
As we get older as parents, we have to be good stewards of the time that they do give us.
Absolutely.
And not complain about what we're missing or that they don't come around enough and make them feel guilty or make them feel bad for not calling or not coming around. We're getting ready for a wedding shower for the kids.
Yeah.
And somebody asked me today, in fact, like, are you excited or are you feeling stressed? I said, I could not be more excited just to be with everyone.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little stressed about the food of all things, but
because
I just want to make sure we have enough. And, you know, some people are coming that haven't RSVP'd, but I know they're coming. So I'm like, I don't even really know how many people are coming.
Right,
so,
right.
But it's never been a problem to have enough food at our house, but I am just excited to be with everyone and see everyone. Mm-hmm. And like all our favorite people are going to be around and in the same area, loving on Emma. on Emma and Joey. And that feels really exciting. So to be a wise steward of the time you get with them is just so important.
Right.
And just to affirm them when they're with you, to thank them. Not long ago, Emma and Joey came to our house, and you know, they had to drive out of the way and make time, and I think this is important for all of us as parents to hear. And I made sure the next day the next morning I said, hey, I just want to say thank you for making the effort to come and see Dad and I. Yeah. We love you all so much. We cherish every minute we get with you, and to make sure that you are honoring the mm-hmm. the times and the effort that your kids make to be with you, instead of looking at it like, we don't get enough time with you. We right. don't see you enough. You don't come enough, because that never makes someone feel like they want to spend more time. More. With yeah, you. And I get it, because it's from a feeling of wanting to be with sure. them. But I think you just really have to give yourself a little lecture or a little pep talk of, hey, I'm not going to beg them to stay. I'm not going to beg them to come around more. I'm not going to make them feel bad for not coming around. I'm going to treasure and honor the time we have together, and that be it.
Yeah. I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but when you think of this season shift, what are the things that you think you are grieving, like more specifically, like than what you've alluded to? Like, what are some things that you think are the parts that make you sad? And what are the parts that make you really excited and look forward to the future?
Oh, I have so many more things.
Because your boys have been out of the house for a while. So you're not really grieving them leaving like a college transition.
I think some of what can make me, that's a good question. And what comes to mind immediately is, you know, before your children meet their significant other, you know, I remember one time that this is what I go back to. I remember one time Heather Whitaker, they didn't know I was listening to their conversation. I was mm-hmm. cooking, and they just didn't think I was paying attention, but I was. I'm always
you
paying
are.
Attention. And Heather said, who is the first person that you call mm-hmm. when you have good news or when you have really bad news? And he motioned to me and his mom. And it's the awareness that, listen, I love that he is in love with the person, and she's going to get that first call.
That's right.
I mean, I want him to have that.
But yeah, you want that.
But I'm not going to be the first call anymore.
That's right.
And that can make me feel a little sad.
Yeah.
I know that I'll be the second, and that's great. I want to stay the second.
Right.
You know, and
you want it that way.
Yes.
You want it that way, even though you're sad.
But it's okay to be sad about the changing of that. So I think that sometimes, and maybe this strikes a chord with someone, I think there's a little bit of wonder in how it's going to be.
Oh, sure.
Like, how is this really going to fold out? Like, sure. how are we going to operate as a family unit, and how are we going to spend time together, and how much time, and how is this really going to roll out?
Right.
That's not making me sad. It's giving me a little bit of wonder. Like, right. I wonder. And I don't think you ever get over missing hearing your kids and having mm-hmm. them home. And,
yeah.
you know, just when they do come home, the laughing. Now, what's so wonderful and what makes me so happy, and why I would never want it to go back to the way it was, because now it's so much better, is right. that when they do come home, there's so much laughing.
Yeah.
Like Teddy and MG, one of my favorite things is they always retire. They're kind of like
the old married couple.
Yeah. They retire and they retire and go to bed earlier than anyone. Well, no, but about the same time Daryl does. And the laughing that we hear, the yeah. laughing and the laughing, and it just, I just love it. And now with Joey and Emma too, there's just so much laughing in mm-hmm. our house, and it's so good. And I'm so excited for grandchildren.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited for all of it. I would say there's way more that I'm excited about than I'm sad about.
Totally.
I'm just right in the middle of the changing over that it's just interesting.
How do you feel like as parents you can, how do you, I mean, I guess you only have your experience to draw from. How do you communicate all of this to your boys?
I tell them.
Like, how do you communicate, like, hey, I'm crying and I know this makes me cry. I know it might look like I'm sad, but I'm not.
Yeah. Oh, I
like there are parts that are yes, sad. Joey and but I'm not sad.
Joey and I had this conversation about the first call thing, and he goes, Oh mom, why does this make me all of a sudden like this makes me all of a sudden want to cry? He's like, This is kind of sad. And I said, But it's also wonderful and beautiful and happy.
And it's supposed to be this
and
way.
And I want it to be this way. Listen, I should not be the first phone call.
Right.
If I'm the first phone call, then we all need to get back in therapy.
Right. Right. That's real.
I don't That's need, real. Emma needs to be his first phone call.
Right.
But there's an awareness that, you know, I'm not, you know, right. I really have a point. I have this moment of when she was running to him on the beach, when he was getting ready to ask her to marry him. He was walking down the beach and I had it together, man. And then when he turned around, he said, I see him coming. And he started crying. Oh. And I was like, oh my gosh, what are you doing, kid? Like, we were holding together so well. And then he walked down on the beach and he was standing there waiting. And the last, I don't know, 20 yards, she ran. And when she was running to him, I felt the shift. I was like, that's his number one now. And it's great. It's wonderful. I'm not sounding like it is, but it's great. And I'm so happy for our boys. But you have to be willing to hand it over. And also, I think if you have this kind of relationship with your kids, to say it. I mean, I've just said it to them. And I've said, I'm not upset. I'm not grieving in a way of sadness. I'm just acknowledging that there's a shift happening, and I just want you to know how I'm feeling. Yeah. And they've both been so great, and their girls are so great. I mean, it's been wonderful. But yeah. I think if we take those feelings, and we bottle them up, and we push them down, and we hide them. And we grieve in silence. We don't tell anyone. We don't tell our partner. We don't tell a friend. We don't tell our kids. I think you are in danger of it being a resentment or hurt that turns into possible like passive aggressiveness or anger. Right. So I think it is important to express how you're feeling. Even if it feels like even communicating this feels clunky because totally. I'm not sad. I'm not sad in the way that you would describe sad, right. Like normal sad. I'm just transitioning and I'm realizing that, you know, my boys' hearts belong to someone else.
Right.
And I think it's good. I think it's good to talk about it.
There's this actor, Andrew Garfield. He has a video clip that went around on Instagram where he was on a late night show and he talks about losing his mother.
Oh, I've seen that.
It's so good. And the way that he describes grief is such a beautiful way. And, you know, his was about death, but I think it applies to a lot of situations. You know, the depth to which you grieve is a measure of the depth to which you've loved.
Yes.
And I love that. So because true. Your feelings about it and the, you know, we listen, side note, like behind the scenes, we did not plan to talk about this. I did not know we were going to be crying so much.
We're going to talk about recipes and what we're listening to and what we're reading.
We'll save that. But, you know, this is what we talked about on your porch. Yeah, truthfully, this is the real.
when people say, I feel like it's having coffee with friends. Well, this is it.
This is what we talked about a couple of days ago. But I think you said something just a couple minutes ago where it was like, it's okay if it feels clunky.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in this situation. I would be like the child to the adult parent. And if you go to your child and you say, hey, this feels clunky. I don't know how to say it, but I just want to tell you how I'm feeling. Even if you don't say it right.
Right.
It's okay.
Yes. It's better. Yeah. It's better than concealing it and trying to manage it without expressing it.
like, often in my experience, when we conceal things, it'll come out in other ways that aren't good.
Yes, exactly.
That are like come across as bitey or as passive aggressive. And I think when you just have a conversation, maybe it's with your child. It could be your child going off to like getting their driver's license, going off to college, getting married, whatever those transitions are. I think it's okay to say, hey, I don't know how to talk about this.
Right.
There was this other video. I think we had shared it with each other, where this woman said something. I don't know if she won an award or something. And she said, I'm 82 years old and this is my first time being 82 years old. So bear with me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've heard that in relationship to parents, like, hey, I'm 40 years old with three kids. This is the first time I've ever been 40 year old with three kids. Yes.
This is the first time that I have, you know, watched my boys fall in love with someone and decide to spend the rest of their life with them.
It's your first time. You're just doing this your first time too. Yeah. And so having grace with each other, I think, is super important
as well. Yeah, that's so good.
I think it's great to communicate your desires and your needs without making it feel like an expectation too. Because I think where we get in trouble as parents is, I think sometimes when we communicate what we desire and our it can come out, our desires can be communicated like expectations. Yes. And that's what makes our kids shut down.
Yeah. Or demands. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like even around holiday time, I think that's where we see it the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like people feel, in fact, Joey just called me lately.
Well,
and said,
I actually was going to say,
yeah,
you're not the only person having a hard time with this change. Your kids are having a hard time with it too, because Joey is already talking about the holidays and how it's going to work out and who's going to be where. Yes. And
he just called and I said, "Oh, honey, we just want to celebrate it sometime with you at some point. You all do what works well, and here's what we're doing. Here's what Teddy and MG are doing, and you make the decisions that work for y'all. As long as we can celebrate, I am not a day of person.
No,
it does not have to be the day of. I think if we can let go of that in many ways, we would find a lot more peace. And listen, here's what I also want to say. And this is long game talk again.
Oof, I love a good long game.
You are not in competition with the other set of parents. Mm,
preach.
This is not a competition.
Preach.
This is a family. This is a team. We're a team. We're all a team. Like when your kids go to have a baby, you're all a team.
That's right.
You're all a team in the waiting room. You are not competing with one another.
That's right.
And I just refuse to have any kind of posture like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to let my thoughts even go there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could they be more important than us? No.
Right.
Also, we're two different sets of parents.
Right.
So
there's
going to be two different relationships. You know, Emma's family, her dad was a golf pro. So they are all golfers. They're all golfing.
Right.
We don't golf. I know how to drive a golf cart.
I know how to top golf.
Yes, you
do. All you do is whack them balls up there.
But we're not golfers.
No.
But you know, we are people who fish. We are people who I love a good cookie and I love to bake and I love to do different things like that.
Yeah.
So we're not the same.
Yeah.
So I think also kind of knocking down some of those barriers is a good idea as you start growing and start being introduced to new families.
I feel like we could do a whole episode on like
in-laws,
letting your kids go and joining another family because I think there's so much
there.
Trauma around that and also so much wisdom to be gleaned to help people. But that's like a whole different episode for a different day.
That would seriously, we could actually even engage with you all in this community and say, like, send us your in-law stories, because I did something on Instagram with in-laws recently and I was in my DMs all day just listening to people's good things.
Mm-hmm.
There were some good things. Oh, there were so many encouraging stories about my mother-in-law was a second mother to me. She was so awesome and that just made my heart sing. And then there was one that like I could never measure up for my mother-in-law.
Right.
She's never accepted me. She's never loved me. She's never cared about me. And it was heartbreaking.
Those are hard.
Hey, Matt.
Let's talk about food.
Okay, listen. For the shower.
Yes, it's coming up.
It's coming up. I've got my list made to go down to Walnut Creek.
You already have the list.
Yes, I already have it made. Can you believe that?
I am so proud. And I didn't even help you.
No. Are you so proud of me? I've got it in my
notebook.
My notebook. I have it written out in my notebook. I have the list done.
I'm so proud of
you. I know. I knew you would be because I'm getting that. I guess what else I've already done? On Friday night, everybody's coming into town. All the kids are coming into town. And MG, our oldest son's fiance's name is MG. Her mom is flying into town from Alabama. And you're going to love her. You haven't met her yet, but you're going to love her. And so I have already roasted and shredded the barbecued pork to
You're busy.
I know, to have, you know what I'm going to make? I am going to make baked potatoes. Yes. I'm going to do barbecued pork baked potatoes.
Yes.
So sour cream, chives, butter, cheese, barbecued pork. Mm. And then I've got a pot of beans that I think you could also just drizzle a little pot of beans.
Sure.
Over the
I
top.
Love that. So, you know
I'm already thinking that.
Well, I know you're going to load up your charcutes, but you know what I love this time of year with like that smoked meat is the apple butter barbecue sauce.
I put it on. It's from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market.
It makes my mouth water.
It's actually a Walnut Creek Foods product, so they might have it in a store near you, and you can go to walnutcreekcheese.com or walnutcreekfoods.com, look at their locator.
The links are in our show notes.
We could do that. Links are in the show notes. That's a good one. So the apple butter barbecue sauce might be at a location near you.
Yeah.
It can also be shipped to you. But that apple butter barbecue sauce is special.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I drizzled
You can
it over.
Even get a chipotle version of it.
Chipotle.
That's a little bit spicy.
It's a little bit spicy. They also
it's
have
so
an old.
Good.
They also have old Carolina barbecue sauce, which
ooh, like the golden kind with vinegar.
Yes, and it's vinegar based and. Yeah, so I drizzled some of that apple butter barbecue sauce on my shredded pork, shredded it up, put a lid on it, put it in the freezer, ready for Friday to take out.
Yeah.
And I just want to be, I don't want to be bound to the kitchen the whole time people are there, but I do want to have a nice meal around the table.
Yeah, don't be bound. No.
No, no, no.
Let it flow.
Yeah, we are so thankful to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and Walnut Creek Foods for their relationship with us and for being an official sponsor of this podcast. We have loved them from the start.
Well, thanks for joining us in this unexpected and impromptu
conversation. Lots of crying.
All about letting go. Let it go.
Yes.
Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.